And welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Thursday, March 23rd, 2023. 21 people were killed during an attack in Jonglei State.
Three people were killed on the spot, two were injured, and five are still missing. There was also another attack, a group of youths from Akobo West and some from Girol.
And a top South Sudanese minister says maternal death in the country is very high.
In South Sudan, while we see some progress, for example, in the impressive increases in women giving birth in the presence of a skilled health practitioner or in a health facility, we are still seeing 1 in 10 children dying before their fifth birthday.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan government... I beg your pardon. Several people were killed in an attack in Jonglei State this week. The spokesperson for the Legislative Assembly in Jonglei says the attackers appeared to have crossed from the neighboring states. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
At least 3 people were killed and 2 others injured, and more than 2,000 head of cattle stolen in an attack by suspected cattle raiders in Partet Payam of Gurur County on Tuesday. According to Wang Boom, a lawmaker representing Gurur County in the Jonglei State Legislative Assembly. During an heli attack on Monday, he says at least 19 people were killed and several others were injured while fishing in Patay Payam. Boom says about 20 young men are still missing.
The day before yesterday, a group of armed youths from Nifiat attacked Payam called Fatat. Fatah around the whole country. 3 people were killed on the spot, 2 were injured, and 5 are still missing. There was also another attack, a group of youths from Akobo West and some from Girol, and they were looking for pitch. In that area, a group of armed youths also ambushed them. Innocently, they were unharmed. They do not have any arms. 19 of them were killed in that incident. And 20 were reportedly abducted.
Boom, who is also the spokesperson of Jonglei State Parliament, condemned the attacks. Several road ambushes and attacks have been reported in Urur County and nearby areas in the recent past. Last Friday, a WAP humanitarian convoy of more than 100 trucks transporting food and other humanitarian assistance came under attack in Urur County. 2 contracted drivers were shot in the attack. 1 died, and another person died in a road traffic accident connected to the incident, according to the United Nations Humanitarian Agency. Boom says reaction to the deadly attacks from locals is unpredictable.
Well, yesterday, I spoke with the Dakwit, the prophet in the area, and he was affected by the attacks, and his car, his cattle were taken, and that man, he has a number of cattle, so he's not happy because he's also a man of peace, because he has been the center of mobilization in Jonglei State. But with an effort from our governor here, the governor talked to him and he distanced himself from all this because he's one deep respected more than the state leadership.
Boom says state and national authorities should intervene. Abraham Kelang, the Greater Pibor Administrative Area's Information Minister, says authorities in Pibor are unaware of the attack.
Nobody informed us as the government authority, like commissioners or government official in Bor, to inform us exactly what happened there. We didn't know any update. We just surprised only for media, social media, news and what, and so in is definitely we government, so we don't have any information about.
Kelang urges Jonglei State authorities to abide by a resolution reached during a recent retreat in Pibor to inform each other on cattle raids or attacks. Boom says about 14,000 locals who have been residing in Partet have been displaced by the recent conflict.
Seen yesterday, now people are fleeing the town Partet. They are going toward Fieri and UI, where they will be able now to access humanitarian assistance.
Michael Meding Akweth, Director of Relief and Rehabilitation Commission in Jonglei State, says his office will conduct an assessment to ascertain the needs of the people affected before intervening in Urur County.
Urur County and Akobo County, there are incidents almost everywhere now. You know, areas of Urur, Akobo, and Lenken. People get displaced and get back. You know, okay, it is like, okay, people run away from their house. They're happening within the settlement. There's nowhere to run to.
The United States Embassy in Juba this week condemned last week's attacks on a World Food Program convoy in Jonglei and called on government leaders and security forces to prevent attacks on humanitarian aid workers and staff. Cataracts are common in Greater Jonglei. Several attempts to make peace and stop repeated cataracts have not borne fruit. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Bor.
South Sudan's Deputy Minister for Finance and Planning, Agok Makur, is urging Tanzanian businessmen and investors to come to South Sudan, saying the country has many resources. The minister made the remarks during a three-day Tanzania-South Sudan Business Forum, which started in Juba on Wednesday with the focus on accessing markets and trade opportunities between the two countries. Juliana Shiapai reports from Juba.
A delegation of 50 investors and business owners from the United Republic of Tanzania are in Juba this week to seek business opportunities in South Sudan, while attending the 3 days forum that kicked off on Wednesday. South Sudan Deputy Minister of Finance and Planning, Agok Makur, is urging Tanzanian business owners to survey various sites in the country and sectors such as mining and oil.
We as the government of South Sudan, we invite all businessmen or investors to come to South Sudan because we have many resources in South Sudan, given a chance to any investors or business to come to invest in South Sudan. After we signed the agreement of peace agreement in South Sudan, we as a government of this government of unity of South Sudan, we are working together to overcome a situation of economic in South Sudan.
Yael Kur, South Sudan Undersecretary in the Ministry of Investment, says many opportunities are open to outside investors.
Priority investment sectors have been designed by the government of the Republic of South Sudan. These include agriculture sector, hard and soft infrastructure sector, mining sector, energy sector, tourism sector, and social sectors, education and health. And investors in these sectors are entitled to the benefits and incentives packages.
Ulingeta Mbamba, chairman of the board of directors at the Tanzania Development Authority, says the trade mission helps Tanzania business owners access South Sudan market.
South Sudan is one of the countries in East Africa, but unfortunately, due to geographical position of the country, it's not doing very well with the United Republic of Tanzania in terms of business. So we thought it's good to come, talk with our friends and discuss a bit, because we still think it's very important to do internal trade before thinking of going to Europe, America, China, etc. That's what we thought. It's good to start first in a local environment here.
Mbamba says there are already a few Tanzanian businesses in Juba, but the level of investment remains low compared to what Tanzania is doing in other East African countries like Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, and Burundi. The Tanzania delegation will be meeting with other South Sudanese government officials from the Ministry of Road and Bridges, Telecommunication and ICT, Health, Petroleum and Mining. For VOA News, I am Juliana Shiapai in Juba.
Hospital in Juba, South Sudan, is far behind schedule in attempts to reduce child and maternal deaths due to absence of peace and stability. The acting health minister, Aya Benjamin Warile, says South Sudan has one of the highest maternal mortality rates in the world, with 1,150 deaths per 100,000 births due to mostly infections. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
There are 1,150 deaths per 100,000 live births in South Sudan. Most of the deaths are due to infection, hemorrhage, and obstructed labor. Officials from the USAID, the United Kingdom, and UNICEF say while meaningful progress has been made in reducing maternal and under-5 deaths globally over the past 10 years, only a handful of countries are likely to meet the Sustainable Development Goal targets by 2030. The officials spoke during a press conference to commemorate the 10th anniversary of the Global Maternal and Child Survival Call to Action. They say they are seeing extremely worrying rates of mortality for mothers and babies, especially in South Sudan, which is performing the worst globally. Jasper Moller is the UNICEF deputy country representative for South Sudan.
In South Sudan, while we see some progress, for example, in the impressive increases in women giving birth in the presence of a skilled health practitioner or in a health facility, we are still seeing 1 in 10 children dying before their 5th birthday, with a concentration of these deaths in the first month or the first year of life.
5 million children under the age of 5 die every year, and nearly half of those are newborns, and most of them die from preventable causes, says Mola, adding that in South Sudan there are climate-induced recurrent shocks such as flooding, drought, poverty, and conflict. He says South Sudan needs to strengthen primary health care systems and adopt an integrated approach that looks beyond clinical health care to improving water and sanitation, hygiene and nutrition, as well as reducing gender-based violence. Kate Crawford is with the USAID Global Maternal Child Nutrition Office. She says while progress has been made over the past 10 years, instability and weak national and state immunization systems continue to hinder those efforts.
South Sudan needs its leadership to stand by its people, ensure that peace and stability are here. I mean, we recognize the ministry and the parliament are not flush with funds, but you have to create an environment where private sector investment can come in. You have to create an environment where civil society can operate freely and engage in all the community work that needs to be done.
Healthy care in South Sudan is one of the least funded sectors by the government. The money allocated for health dropped from 9.7% in the 2021-2022 fiscal year budget to just 4.2% in the 2022-2023 fiscal year budget. Member of Parliament Benjamin Malek Alier, a member of the Health Committee, says the executive dictates on the budget allocation and gives Parliament no opportunity to adjust the figures.
Although we started to increase it, when we ask, especially our members of the Parliament, the budget which is brought always is brought by the executive and they put a ceiling. So most of our attempts to increase the health budget don't go through, particularly last year.
Acting Health Minister Warile acknowledges the South Sudan situation of maternal and child deaths remains among the worst in the world. Warile says though the budget allocated to the health sector is too small to manage the magnitude of the problem, absence of peace and stability affects the government's efforts.
You will all agree with me. Even if we have the best budget, even if we have the best plans or programs, without peace, where would we go?
Crawford says the call to action for maternal, newborn, and child health initiative is to refocus attention on the needs of children and mothers. The U.S., the United Kingdom, and UNICEF say improving the survival chances and quality of life of women, newborns, and children remains an urgent global challenge. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, activists react to Uganda's anti-gay bill. Find out why after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
What do you do on the weekends?
Over the weekend, I happen to read my books, the novels, and sometimes I go for my leisure time, play pool tables, and watch football because I'm a fan of Arsenal.
Weekends, most of the time, I listen to music. I go to the beach. I hang out with my friends. Sometimes I go to the clubs, but mostly, most of my time, I'm always with my mom.
It is very good. Weekend is something where you can enjoy your life with either your boyfriends, girlfriends, your friends, and colleagues sometime. So it can be in form of swimming, playing footballs, and watching football. I'm a great fan of football.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Health officials in Lake State say men in the rural areas are reluctant to turn up for an ongoing voluntary male circumcision campaign. The medical officer for Awerol County says majority of men in the rural area fear the stigma that is connected with circumcision. One resident say the community is yet to learn more about benefits of being circumcised. Manyang David Mayar reports from Mankenman, Lake State.
Last week, the Military Medical Corps launched a voluntary male circumcision campaign in Minkaman with the aim of reducing HIV transmission by 60% among the population in the area. But today, there is no cure at the male circumcision ward at Minkaman Health Center in Awerol County as the voluntary male circumcision campaign enters its second week. James Manuel, a county medical officer in Awerol, says local people are not coming to the center due to the stigma attached to male circumcision.
Those who understood, they do come and report for it, and they are in the facility. But maybe roughly about 5% of cattle keepers are turning up, 5%. Yeah, you know, the local people, they don't welcome this exercise very much because they are not interested in it. Because in the first place, the local community here seems that if somebody is circumcised and it happens that it turns in the cattle camp or in the village, people tend to be laughing at him.
Manuel says 280 people were circumcised over the last 7 days, and 95% of them are citizens from urban areas or educated people. Manuel says local men in Awerol should not miss this opportunity.
We tell them that circumcision is important. One, is a part of personal hygiene. Secondly, it is also for prevention of sexual transmitted diseases, for example, is HIV and gonorrhea and syphilis. So it's a part of prevention. That is what we are telling to the people.
Health officials are trying to make sure the message reaches every man in Minkaman, but most are just reluctant to visit the surgery ward at the county health center to be circumcised. 40-year-old Minkaman resident Cora Yuom, who is not circumcised, supports the idea of circumcision, but has some reservation.
When one is circumcised, he will not do any work immediately. I have some work that I am doing, and truly this cannot prevent the transmission of AIDS or HIV, but what I heard is good with it. It is just being cleaned.
Ayuom says, culturally, locals tend to bully anyone that is circumcised. Makura Lunj says he never got circumcised for fear of being mocked, especially during the time that people would go without wearing clothes to bath in open places at the pool. He says he's now willing to go for circumcision.
Lack of education has prevented many of us here from being circumcised. Education or civilization has come now when we are already old. When I was in Uganda, I witnessed people being circumcised but failed to go because of the negative attitude, but now it has changed.
Male circumcision involves minor surgery to remove the foreskin of man's reproductive organ. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayor in Minkaman, Lagos State.
The White House has joined gay rights and supporters around the world in criticizing Ugandan lawmakers for passing a bill with an overwhelming majority that would criminalize anyone who publicly identifies as a homosexual or engages in homosexual acts. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre called it one of the most extreme anti-LGBTQI laws in the world. A South Sudanese analyst says despite some evidence of homophobic sentiment in South Sudan in reaction to the recently passed bill, South Sudan does not need a bill on homosexual behavior or marriage. Professor of Anthropology at Syracuse University, Jock Madu Jock, says unlike South Sudan's neighbors to the south, Kenya and Uganda, the question of LGBTQ rights has not been raised for public debate in the young country. He tells Nabil Biagio, anti-gay bill passed by the Ugandan parliament, which has yet to be signed into law by President Yoweri Museveni, has political reasons behind it, which serves the long-running Museveni administration.
The law in Uganda is being publicly applauded by ordinary citizens, at least from what I have seen on social media. And a lot of people are saying, yeah, this is a law that we should also have in South Sudan. The problem with such attitude, in my view, is that this issue has not really come up for debate in South Sudan at all. It has never been seen as a problem because either public officials simply say homosexuality does not exist in our society, it is not an African culture. And or people simply say it doesn't exist because they don't know, most likely because people who are of that orientation are afraid to express it. So they do in secrecy, which is fine. And so in my view, I would say South Sudan does not need to have a law similar to that in Uganda and to that which is being debated in Kenya right now. One, because there is no indication that there are a lot of South Sudanese who are asking for allowance to engage in same-sex marriage. So it's like we shouldn't fix it if it is not broken, as it were.
Yes, this is a very interesting point you raise here. In South Sudan, of course, the country's constitution defines marriage in a clear traditional sense. Every person of marriageable age shall have the right to marry a person of the opposite sex and to start a family. So we can safely assume gay marriage is out of the question. But what about the existence of gay people in a society that is deeply conservative, and some activists would even say homophobic?
Oh, that is the fact. That is the reality. South Sudanese, at least a lot of people in South Sudan would definitely be hostile to any homosexual person. not just hostility in terms of denying them rights and so forth, but even violent hostility. And this is quite tragic, because if people want to live whichever way they want to live and they are not hurting anyone, there shouldn't be such a volatile and hostile orientation towards them. And I think this is what is going to make the Uganda law become controversial, and perhaps even some people within South Sudan saying we should have such a law, when in fact there is no need for it at the moment. I think it is very evident that there would be extreme hostility towards gay people if they ever try to express themselves publicly.
This development in South Sudan's immediate neighbor, Uganda, has gripped attention not just in Uganda or the region, but here in the West as well. We have seen a lot of condemnation from rights activists, but we have seen very little in terms of analysis of the context and what political purpose does such a move serve.
No, I totally agree. Well, on the one hand, you have gay people in Uganda becoming more organized and becoming more visible, so that there is an organization that represents them, an organization that worked to fight some of the discrimination against gays. And so they are more visible in Uganda on the political space than you would find them, say, in South Sudan. And so that is one issue, and it is that issue which now the Museveni government is saying we cannot allow. And my reading of it is that Museveni and others are influenced not just by what they call African culture, because there is nothing in African culture that says homosexuality is not allowed, but also by evangelical groups from the West who frequent Uganda. There is a lot of American evangelists presence in Uganda, whether through their support for charity organizations or multiple churches that have arisen. There is definitely a lot of Christian influence on the government of Uganda. The question then is this bill really meant to fight gays, or is it meant to endear Uganda to more conservative people around the world? I would say the latter, because there is really nothing that the gays have done to hurt Uganda to warrant such a vile attack on them.
That's Jock Madu Jock, a professor of anthropology at Syracuse University in New York. He spoke with my colleague Nabil Biagio this past hour. That's all we prepared for you this Thursday. We now leave you with the song Labia Maro by Mede Musica.
Atane morosi.
Olena Mario somururu nye vono ndene.
Tiso njine deshe.
Waso hoti ama besi na mururu nye.
Nime ngu.
Utane jene oso ngawi. Zaketi akuru nye omuri mane.
Nando lobe na toro.
Atane jine jeperi.
Azifu azifu.
Kuni takachi na rupe. Kuni takachi na rupe.
Nikatata lukube.
We've been listening to Mede Musica and the song Labia Maro. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. Don't forget to visit voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you miss this program, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and our engineer, Kayla Williams, we wish you a good evening and thanks for taking time to be with us. Remember to join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.